Hi, I'm Gabe.
And I'm Kat.
And we're
the Ghouls Next Door.
Yeah.
Talking about spooky stuff in the spookiest season of all.
Yes.
You know.
It is October, and it is our favorite time of the year, because it's when everyone decides they can be spooky.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to knit so much.
Yeah.
I'm ready for it. I'm not even going to go outside. I'm just going to knit, you know?
Yeah. Just a hobby.
Pandemic.
Yeah.
But still spooky. We can all cosplay inside.
Yes, that's very true. You can have Halloween inside where it is safe. You can do Zoom Halloween parties.
It's literally just going to be like, make your favorite drink. Get a bunch of candy.
Yeah.
Eat that candy.
Watch scary movies together.
Yeah. It's like my Halloween dream. Yours, yeah. No, because extroversion. No, but I'm people. Like, wait.
Yeah.
You're telling me I'm no longer obligated to human?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. Sign me up, please. Man.
Yeah.
Dreams.
Yeah. It's a whole new kind of world that we're living in. Social distance times, if you're watching and also listening, you probably hear a bit of a muffle. It's because we're wearing masks, because we are practicing
safety,
social distancing, and, you know, protecting ourselves and loved ones by not transmitting our breath and air and body fluids.
Nothing says love like keeping your fluids and your air to yourself.
Yeah. Yep. Yes, that's very true. That's what we always say.
Mm-hmm. You're at the Ghouls.
Yeah, so this is, you know, what October Spooky Month 2020 looks like, which is masks and, you know, costumes inside.
Maybe we survived that comet.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Right, isn't that in
yeah,
October?
Yeah, that's happening. There's
maybe the
two full moons. This month, there's one at the 1st and one on the 31st. That's a blue moon or something.
Blue moon?
It's like a special colored moon on October 31st.
Dear Lord.
And it's a Saturday. It was going to be a really cool Halloween, and now it's just the precursor to whatever our American government looks like in the following days.
I've been training.
So positive stuff all around is what we're trying to say.
Yeah.
So usually in October, we do kind of like a throwback to the classics. Last year we did some classic writers. The year before that was like the foundational classic writers plus Bela Lugosi and Boris Karloff.
Mm-hmm.
This year we're doing things a little different. We took a month off. We took a break. But we're back. And there's like, you know, there's a lot of stuff to go around, but we had this cool idea to do a series called The Kids Are All Right, where we are, you know, featuring stories about youth.
Yeah. And coming of age, you know.
Yeah.
Learning who they are, existing, being a people.
Yes.
But like older now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like a pivotal point in your life. Good or bad.
Yeah.
And it's such a movie topic.
Yeah.
Movie, TV, any kind of media. They're like, yeah, remember how awful middle and high school was? Let's just focus all of our unprocessed emotions, fears, and otherwise and put it into some good old fun television / movie.
It's like we can relate to that because no matter how good your life is, like, you still had a rough, like, there are still parts of your youth where you're like, this sucked. Like, my body was doing weird stuff. That person I liked didn't like me. Or, like, I didn't get the thing I wanted because my parents didn't get it for me. Or, you know, like, yeah.
It's a long list of possibilities of ways that your life can be impacted as a child.
Yes. Today we are talking about a trope that comes up a lot in TV and film. In media and comics, because specifically we're talking about a comic turned, or graphic novel turned, into a show. Last week we talked about a graphic novel turned into a show. This is also on Netflix.
Maybe so, we just do, The Kids Are All Right, but only in graphic novel into show
times. Or like a media into a show.
Yeah.
Because next week is a book into a film.
See, we're doing it.
So today we're going to be talking about The Chosen One, and specifically we're talking about Sabrina Spellman of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. So not the classic Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which had Melissa Joan Hart, which is just like heartfelt, fun,
yeah,
teen comedy, like, you know, My So-Called Life.
Mm-hmm.
It was just...
Which was super, what's her name in real life? Clarissa Explains It All. Oh. She's also in that. She's, like, very much the...
Claire Danes.
Yeah. She's a teenager going through stuff. We're going to watch her grow up.
Yeah.
Kind of child actress time.
Yeah. She didn't explain any of this, though, and I don't want her to come back and tell us what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's not Melissa Joan Hart. It is Kiernan Shipka, from known originally from Mad Men. She's the daughter of, you know, dude. I forget his John
the
Hamm.
Guy. Yep.
I forget his name in the show. And, you know, she's grown up, and now she's a teen, and she's sassy, and she's Sabrina Spellman / Morningstar, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
And there's a lot for this series. There's 4 seasons. There's 3. There's a 4th one either coming or it's out already. Did you see if it was out?
Mm.
I think it's just 3 right now. But it got canceled at 4.
Which is fine.
You'll find out at the end of this episode. It's totally fine. And also just, like, great. It is our 3rd year anniversary.
Burr, 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 burr.
Yeah. Which is apparently the leather anniversary. Looked it up. And
yeah.
As a vegetarian, occasional vegan.
Same.
Nope. It's we're not.
Pleather.
Pleather. That's allowed.
It's the year of pleather.
But yeah, so for a gift for our anniversary, leave us a comment or, you know, like and subscribe on iTunes and on YouTube. Become a subscriber. We love hearing from you, and it's great to have that support, especially after being here for 3 years. We have a hefty backlog of episodes. So let us know what you like, what you didn't like, and we'll grow together. It's going to be great.
Just give us your love.
That's all we want.
Channel it.
Yeah.
Into word form in the way of comments and stars.
Yes.
Like, it fuels us.
Sadly, that's all we have. Like, that's what we...
Yeah, we don't make money.
So let's talk about...
Maybe.
Yeah, one day. Let's talk about Netflix's Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. So, this adaptation of the Sabrina the Teenage Witch tale is a dark coming-of-age story that traffics in horror and the occult. In the reimagined origin story, Sabrina Spellman wrestles to reconcile her dual nature, half witch, half mortal, while standing against the evil forces that threaten her, her family, including Aunts Hilda and Zelda, and the daylight world humans inhabit. So, we have Sabrina. She's half witch. She's half human, classic tale.
Yeah,
you know, as a mixed person myself, I understand. It's hard. You're just toeing the line. It's like, where do I exist, right? Which could have been a really awesome opportunity to kind of, you know, talk about being mixed and all of that. We don't get that at all.
Nope.
She struggles with her humanity for, like, a few minutes, season 1, really.
Oh, blip.
It's, like, there, but it's not. Like, you know the whole time that she's just gonna... And I think that's... So, Sabrina's this chosen one, in that, you know, from the start, we know that there's something special about her. She knows there's something special about her. And it's gone straight to her head, and it is always there.
Yep, arrogance. And just, like, a lot of problems.
Yeah.
It's a lot of problematic elements.
Yeah.
To her, just her being.
Yeah.
Who she is and how she is.
Yeah. The Chosen One, or, like, the protagonist, I'm not a big fan of protagonists in general. I think protagonist armor kind of takes away from the real fear of things. And I think Chosen Ones are really hard because... There is a cockiness and a confidence that comes with that role. And oftentimes, like, even when they're struggling with, like, taking on such an important role as to, like, save the world
mm-hmm.
and take care of the people you love, with great power comes great responsibility trope, they still are, like, cocky about it. Like, it's still, yeah, like, why do they get to do this? And, like, you know. But there's ways that you can make people human and make them relatable. So, like, although there are plenty of issues to be said about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the show, there are some highlights to it in that Buffy is flawed, mm-hmm, and does confront things where she's, like, oftentimes just like, I wish I could just be a teenage girl and go to school. I hate this. The series itself also does not do justice for people of color. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think she also kind of fights with that, too. Eventually, she's, like, breaking these things by, like, allowing other slayers to exist and kind of, like, pushing forth this revolution of sorts. Mm-hmm. And so there is, like, positive parts to that and some feminism. But being a Joss Whedon product is only going to go so far.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of, like, at the end of the day, that's what happens. The same thing with, which I'll, like, reference later, with failed feminism would be, like, American Horror Story's Coven, which did not do justice to the feminist movement or to intersectionality in the feminist movement. And this show also fails that.
Yeah, it, like, goes in really, like, pushing hard that it is the epitome of intersectionality. There's a diverse cast. Like, they got all this going. And it's like, this is a lie. It didn't do that. Like, it just shows, like, how not in touch with what you're trying. Like, you're just trying to be, like, trendy.
Yeah.
Essentially. And totally missing the mark is what happened with Sabrina.
Yeah. Same thing with AHS. So, mm-hmm, like, I think it's the hip topic. And you think just having people of color in a cast or as characters is enough, and it's not. Because it's how they're being represented. It is if they have autonomy, how they're being used by our protagonists. If they matter, it's kind of like the sexy lamp test in its own way. But it's like, you know, the Ava DuVernay test of, like, does this character talk about something else other than race? Is it, like, do they get a scene where they get to talk to another person of their color? Like, you know, like, in their background. So there's, like, all these elements that when you put your media analysis glasses on, it kind of shows the flaws of this program. Mm-hmm. I have not read the graphic novel. I know a bit about kind of the context of it and her personal struggles, so we won't kind of go into that. There's also some things that are decent about the show, and I think any of the decency comes from any of the other characters and them just trying. And it's literally just the existence of Sabrina that makes everyone else suffer. Mm-hmm. Like, she brings the pain for everybody. Yeah. Like, she's the reason why no one can move forward or, like, be happy, because they're all second best. And they all have to, like, you know, bend to her whims because she gets whatever she wants. And they have to clean up her messes and take on the pain that she's causing. And then when they have the audacity to be like, I'm in pain, I'm suffering from PTSD from literally being in hell for you, my love, oh, I guess I should get over it so we can get back to being a high school couple. Excuse me? But like, I mean, one of the characters that I think is great to have in a show is Theo, who is a trans character and is played by Lachlan, who's this amazing actor. I enjoy watching them on social media. They're a phenomenal, like, role model for young people. Mm-hmm. They're gorgeous and fun and, like, really bring a lot to this character. But I think, again, anytime Sabrina is interacting with that character or trying to help them, it's a negative thing. Like, it's a twist and it's problematic in its own way. You have the character of Roz, which gets more, you know, screen time. She is not just the are you okay black friend, you know, but she still is kind of being painted as second best again because of Harvey. And yeah, so there's like all these elements. And there's also thinking of like, what are the Walker family women who are seers? Like, what is their history with the Spellmans and the witches of this area that they are forced to be blind? Like, what are we doing here? But we also, like, just in media, when it comes to witches have time and time again been this, like, theme or tool to explain feminism or to kind of do that, which is, I think, is interesting because oftentimes it's, you know, white women who are at the front of these stories, mm-hmm. and it's oftentimes it's Satan, Lucifer, Black Philip, right? So it's a man at the crux of it that gives them the power, mm-hmm. right? And so, and then their power is that they're naked in the woods, right? Like those kinds of things, right? And in a lot of those tales that we grew up hearing, like when you think of the Salem witch trials, right? It is white women at the front of it, and at the outcast, and the ones who are the original scapegoats and the original tools for violence, is like Tituba, mm-hmm. right? Or it's like the black, like there's witches in other countries. Like we have brujas, mm-hmm. you know, like, or you have like whenever they bring up, they're like New Orleans, right? There's witches there. And it's like always this really awful representation, like, or like underrepresentation or misrepresentation where mm-hmm. they're always less powerful than the white people.
Yeah. And also just like this like bastardization of what the culture actually was. Yeah. And like just very much trying to make it as like, ooh, look at the white people interact with the magic. It's definitely very cringy.
Yeah.
And even in Sabrina, you get a lot of that. Mm-hmm. Like it's just kind of like a total disregard for kind of like the long history of one, like slavery and the abuse of people of color and Black people specifically.
Yeah.
And like practicing just like their own cultural and religious beliefs and how it's like being twisted
into something to
kind
dark.
Of like Satanist. And it's like, that's not, it's yeah. a whole thing.
yeah.
There's a lot of articles about it that we both read. So,
yeah. yeah. So I, there's like several layers to Sabrina that I kind of wanted to go into. There's the chosen one and why I think Sabrina is a problematic chosen one. And then there's also just the shows as just failing in intersectionality and feminism. And because that's like what it, like at least feminism is where it's trying to, like that's the theme of the mm-hmm. show, was that she's, you know, fighting against the patriarchy. Blackwood is toxic. He's like the, you know, the head, and he's so, he believes in, like, Judas and all of that.
You know, subordinate women.
Yeah.
Like, does that to Hilda? Is it Hilda?
Yeah. Yeah. And he has this belief of, like, these women are just tools, even though they're the majority. And then we find, like, Lilith, who is trying to, who had the power and helped Lucifer, only to get stabbed in the back and be, you know, subordinate herself. And she had an opportunity to be something bigger. And this, using the story of Lilith is so phenomenal, too, because Lilith itself of the story is so great because it kind of diverts from that typical, like, women are made from men and therefore to mm-hmm. just be submissive. Instead, it's that, you know, the tale of Lilith is that when God made man, he also made woman. He made them at the same time. Because mm-hmm. he says God made man and woman. And then later, God made Eve, right? So it's this idea that there was a woman who was equal to him but would not bow down. And so she was cast out, and then she lay with monsters and made monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like this idea that there's two women out there. There's two kinds of women. There's the submissive, and then there's the Liliths who are like, I'm not going to bow down to what you say, which is, like, also incorrect. Like, we're just people.
Yeah.
you know? But, yeah, it definitely tries to be, like, you know, because we have Sabrina, who's our heroine, we're supposed to be, like, all women are now better because she's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It is incorrect. I think parts of why I don't like Sabrina as a chosen one, or as a protagonist, really, is that she doesn't learn anything. She doesn't help anything, and she doesn't learn yeah. anything.
She doesn't take accountability for literally anything she does the entire show.
No. No, she continuously puts people she loves in harm's way, and believes that, you know, everything will be right in the end, and unfortunately it is. Like, and oftentimes, if not every single time, at, like, the behest of someone else that she cares about. Like, someone else risks their life and their safety so that she can do whatever crazy risky thing she wants to do. And then she thinks, like, she just never realizes. She, like, doesn't say thank you.
Yeah.
And she doesn't apologize. Like, all of her apologies are weak. And, like, it's more of, like, I'm sorry you're mad that I didn't tell you these things.
Yeah. I think it's just very true to her, like, privilege and just, like, her just being, like, I'm owed this. Yeah. I'm the chosen one. So, like, y'all had to do it anyway.
Yeah. Like, she never has to fight for it. She just is it, right? And she just, like, wakes up every day and is like, whatever I think is correct.
Is that?
And it's gonna work out because the world said so. And that's just it. One of the biggest things of season three, and again, spoilers everywhere, is that at the end of season two, Nick, her boyfriend, solves her problem for her and decides to trap Lucifer in his body and be in hell where he's tormented. Okay.
Yeah.
Because of her problem. Like, she did it. It's her fault. But he's the only one who can do it. And so then he does. And then as soon as we open on season three, episode one, he's not in hell anymore. She went and got him. She's like, we made it like it was going to be this atrocious, like, awful, like, impactful situation that she would have to deal with.
Like, deal with the guilt of that her whole life.
Not at all. She literally wakes up and she's like, gonna go stroll to hell.
Gonna go get
him. I'm gonna take my friends who I've heretofore said, like, that I wanted to keep from my witch life because it's dangerous.
They can come on in.
Come on in, yes. Help me save my boyfriend that I, you know, I'm not gonna say I did it, but whatever. And then she goes, she gets him, and then he's, I mean, how dare him.
Experience how dare trauma? You have
PTSD
yeah.
from literally fighting with the devil inside of himself. And she's like, like, I know you're going through stuff, and I'm sorry. I'm like, sorry, but don't, okay?
Yeah, I like, mean, she's definitely just in love with the idea of him and not him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And, like, and it's a part of it is just, like, how dare you insult me, Sabrina, Morningstar. Like, she embraces her name, and it becomes apparent that she loves the power, and she always did. And it doesn't matter who falls and who gets hurt because of it. And that's where I find, like, she's not a chosen one. She's definitely a villain. She is the villain of this story. And I think if we committed to that and it was, like, intentional and, like, other people knew that and were seen as the real protagonist, which is Prudence and Ambrose and literally all the other supporting characters, like Roz and Theo, not Harvey. Like, all of those other characters, that would, we would have something.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I read an article called How Netflix's Sabrina Fails an Intersectional Feminist Promise. And it really goes into how basically every chance that is possible, it tries to go away from any, like, person of color story or not cis white man time story and, like, refocus on characters like Harvey. Or Sabrina, or, like, any other, like, white character that is not in any way, like, just a cisgendered white person. And it goes again, like, you have all these, like, instances where they finally start to, like, kind of untie certain things for, and, like, give more character development to the people of color characters, but then it, like, quickly shifts back to Harvey's doing this now. Harvey loves Sabrina this whole time, not Roz. Roz is blind, because why? How does that family, as you said, with the Spellmans, we're colorblind, no one talks about these things. What's our history? Only Sabrina's history matters. It's like a whole, it kind of just keeps going down and down and down. And it just, you have this whole kind of, like, white victim is what Sabrina is, but she's also, like, actively the villain. So as you said, like, I think it would change the total dynamic if they just acknowledged that openly and let Prudence, like, shine.
Yeah.
And, like, there's this whole, like, you can kind of tell that the creators didn't really consider, like, what it, like, they basically made the cast have lots of people of color and, like, all of that, but they didn't consider what that meant. Like, they didn't intentionally do it. So, like, they kind of, like, don't give Prudence enough backstory. They don't really consider, like, her blackness in her character, and then you have, like, the scene where, like, the lynching and how, like, the white woman always wins in this scenario, aka Sabrina, and it's, like, there's, like, this long list of ways that it failed.
Yeah.
And the article outlines that.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, we have Prudence, right, who in season one is supposed to be our villain, more mm-hmm. or less, like, besides Blackwood. And that she, like, is actively, like, tormenting Sabrina, and she comes with her sisters. And, like, you know, she's throwing around her, like, mudblood terminology, which is just, like, disgusting to begin with, but also mm-hmm. coming from, like, a black character. And this is all we really know about her, is that she's hateful to someone who's mixed when she herself is mixed, not by witch and mortal, but by her race. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, it's like, it's saying that Sabrina's mixed nature of being, like, witch and mortal mm-hmm. gets hierarchy over someone who's mixed because their race doesn't matter. Like, that mm-hmm. that doesn't mean anything to her, like, to Prudence, right? And the fact that, like, she's constantly fighting for her father's approval in a story that's supposed to be feminist, like, she is one of the more strong characters. Like, mm-hmm. she is very talented, and she's been in this her whole life, and she has constantly tried to get validation and to fight to get to the top. And is within her right to do that. Like, this mm-hmm. is, she is the perfect member of this society. Like, she embodies all the things that, like, the Satan-worshipping witches are supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, cares about her sisters, and she, you know. And if anything, she's mad because Sabrina got a normal life. Yeah. She's bitter because Sabrina got white privilege.
Exactly. Yeah. Right? That's totally it. Because they're both, like, seem like orphans, essentially.
Yeah.
They both had, like, the same cards laid out to them, essentially. Mm-hmm. And Sabrina just gets to do whatever the heck she wants and have everyone else around her clean it up for her with yeah. her privileged little white lady self. And Prudence is like, I work hard. I deserve all the things you are getting, and it's messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's also, like, with the existence of Ambrose, right? So we have, in season one, he is stuck in the house. Because he was involved in this kind of rebellion that was gonna, mm-hmm. you know, I think kill the Dark Pope or something. Like, there was, like, these things, and he was kind of, like, accidentally involved, but he wasn't gonna snitch, he wasn't gonna do any of that. And you know, he was willing to kind of, he had all this pride and, like character mm-hmm. that later was kind of just thrown out, and he was used as a tool. He was also very gay. In the original seasons. And then with kind of interacting with Prudence, they've decided to make him bisexual, which is, like, maybe, like, he very well could be bisexual this whole time. But I feel like they were very much just like, we have two beautiful black people. Let's put them together because that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, we could have really just had a friendship.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. They're both very beautiful, and I love seeing them together. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like their character, their relationship would have been just as strong had he remained just as this gay character. Like, that's okay for him to be gay, mm-hmm. right? Just, like, to be a gay man, right? And to have Prudence be the hypersexualized woman that she is and very confident. Because, like, even so, because she just doesn't care about men. So to me, mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't feel like she would really want to be with Ambrose in that way. Anyway, there's, like, they have parts where they're cleaning up, like, Ambrose is always cleaning up Sabrina's messes.
Mm-hmm.
He is always doing that. He's figuring out the spells for her. He is the one who finds magic for them in the third season. He's out there looking for Blackwood and the, like, his twins that are missing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, and then there's, like, the character, their New Orleans witch.
Mm-hmm.
So they found a black witch, and there's some tension there when she's brought in, because that's, like, different magic.
Mm.
And that's magic that the white women, like, Hilda has to, or not Hilda. Is it Hilda? No, Hilda's
Zelda.
Hmm?
There's two sisters.
Yeah.
Hilda, Zelda.
Zelda.
Yes.
Zelda has, like, this kind of discomfort at uh-huh. first with, I forget her name, and I feel really bad. With the, I feel like they call her, like, mom or something. Mm. Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, yeah. So Zelda has, like, this problem with, I think it was mom or something, because, of course, where she's just like, we don't know those magics. Or mm-hmm. that magic is less real because it doesn't follow our
mm-hmm.
heretofore very patriarchal concept of what
yeah.
magic is. And then later you find out that she is very powerful. But she's still diminished. Like, she still doesn't get, like, she still has to learn with them in this, like, weird way instead of them being, like, there are witches in other places. Like, I would love to see, like, a Bruja come in. And especially because I was reading an article, I totally forget which one it was, that mentioned potentially that Chichiba from, what is
the Salem Witch Trials?
Yeah, what was the,
The article?
No, the story, the book, the Crucible.
Crucible, yes.
The Crucible, Chichiba's in that, but also, like, the tales of Chichiba. That Chichiba is actually a South American witch. So, like, not even, like, the quintessential black witch that everyone was using as a scapegoat anyway. She was still, like, a servant. Anyway, like, that they're, like, to have an existence of witchcraft and magic, to make it, one, focus specifically on Christianity and white women, and to neglect that the world is full of many other races and cultures and backgrounds and religions. Like, so, like, obviously what we're getting is that they're fighting Lucifer, who's, like, a fallen angel, Mr. Morningstar, that Sabrina is, you know, the daughter of, through rape. She also isn't confronting her poor mother's trauma. Anyway, we have this very, like, patriarchal white cis situation here. Mm-hmm. But the existence of the black witch who comes in from New Orleans, like, she doesn't get her magic from him. In any other, like, if you were to encounter, like, a Chinese witch or, like, you know, an Indian witch or a South American or Islander witch, like, they're also, well, South American might also get it from somewhat Christian
Catholicism
kind of thing, possibly. But I think, like, all these different places, like, they're not getting their magic from that. Mm-hmm. So where are they? So what I'm thinking is, like, there could be a different chosen one. There could be different magic that we could explore. Could just be different
religions. Right? That become the center of media.
Could you imagine? Yeah.
White people.
Yeah.
Just imposing their feelings on everybody.
Yeah, I think there's just a lot of flaws with, like, a teenage protagonist in this case of, like, that she really never has to suffer. Like, and that's the point of, like, when you're writing, that's the first thing they tell you, right, is to make your protagonist suffer. Yeah. And that's how they're going to learn. But Sabrina never learns. She just goes in and she thinks that she knows what's right in all her 16 years of living in her very secluded world.
Yeah.
But of course she knows better. And no, she can't tell her aunts who have gone through so much for her and for everyone that they love and are incredibly powerful women in their own right, cannot tell them, cannot confide in her fellow witches or her friends who, despite, like, not being near Miss Chosen One and being, like, cast aside.
There's no reason that they should be friends after season, like, the first episode.
Well, like, even still, I guess, like Sabrina's off doing all her stuff and, like, dealing with being the Queen of Hell and all that stuff, and they're, like, they form their band and they're just, like, Riverdale over there. But, like, she's never there and they are, like, flourishing.
Yeah.
Like, they are all figuring themselves out. They're getting powerful. They're falling in love. They're being, like, that's the story I want to watch. I don't care about what Sabrina's doing. I really don't want it. I don't want to watch this music video where she's a cheerleader. I don't care. I don't. Like, it's so dumb. The only scene I enjoyed was, like, when she tried to, like, save... There's, like, a kid who was missing, and she tried to save the kid, and she thought she can, like,
jump in. Yeah, she's in the icebox.
Yeah.
Yep, I saw that one.
And then she's, like, about to die, and Lilith has to come get her. It's
when she is the Grim Reaper, essentially.
Yeah, and she has to, like...
That was a fun episode.
...kill someone, and she had to make a deal with that guy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Lilith had to come and save her. And I was just, like, maybe just save the little girl, but... Like, I still don't think she, like, really understood, like, what her role is now. Like, no, you have to be evil, hon. You have to be evil. And now there's, like, two of her.
She's, whatever. Like, trying to be evil, but isn't, like, won't accept the fact that it's the whole thing.
Yeah. And, like, so there's, like, the Chosen One trope comes up a lot in media. And there's ways to do it wrong. There's many ways to do it wrong. Like, with Sabrina, who's this, like, she is aware of her protagonist's armor, mm-hmm. so she, like, wears it, and she goes in and does whatever she wants. But there's also, like, so on Netflix, they also have Warrior Nun.
Mm-hmm.
There's a protagonist named Ava, who, before becoming the Chosen One, was someone who was paralyzed.
In a car accident.
Yeah. And so then, through, like, magics and more pseudo-Christian themes, becomes, like, an angel sort of thing. Mm-hmm. The Warrior Nun. And which is also kind of good. Like, everyone else is more interesting than our protagonist. But then she dies, but now she's back to life.
And she can walk.
She got powers. She can walk. But she spends the entire season fighting against being the Chosen One, which is, like, that's the first arc of, like, a Chosen One theme, is, like, you fight against it.
It doesn't usually last 8 episodes, though.
No, it doesn't last the whole season until the last episode when she's, like, now I'm the Chosen One. And the only thing I like about it is that when she's, like, now I'm the Chosen One, is that she still kind of sucks. And everyone's, like, you're the Chosen One, but you do actually have to, like, work. Like, you do have to, like, work out and learn how to fight and learn what the world is.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, we could have got that, like, 7 episodes previous.
Yeah, you could have had one Rebel episode instead of just letting it keep going.
And I get, like, the reluctance, and she, you know, wanted to be a kid, and she never got her life. And that's the whole thing about the Chosen One, is that when you are, you know, thrust upon these responsibilities, there should be, like, a retaliation against it. Because that's a lot of pressure, especially on a young person. Like we talked about last episode, your emotions are crazy, mm-hmm. and you have no control. And so, like, in this, like, she just fights the entire time, causes people to, like, die or get hurt.
And, yeah.
And she just really sucked. And so that's one way to, like, fail. And, like, making them too aware is a fail.
I mean, what they should have done for Warrior Nun specifically is, like, so big spoilers if you haven't seen it. But the scene where the nun is essentially the one who killed her,
mm-hmm.
Like, gave her poison because she thought she was saving her from the world, which is just really toxic in terms of disability.
Yeah, absolutely. Stuff.
But essentially, the time she goes back to seek vengeance and save her, like, friend who is a boy that, like, used to live there and, like, talk to her during mm-hmm. this time. What should have happened is that, like, at that moment is where she realizes she can use the powers to protect people, save people. And that should have been the turning moment, not where she just keeps running for another 4 episodes, however long it was. Like, it should have been, that was the thing that changed her, to realize that she had power and could use it to save people she cares about. And then the, like, selfishness meter turns off for a second.
Yeah.
And she starts to realize, like, she can do something big. So.
Yeah, and I think, like, and that would have made for a good story. Like, I think mm-hmm. it's okay to spend some time on the reluctance, because that's a natural human thing to do, to be like, I don't want this power, this is a lot of work. and we see that oftentimes with our protagonists who have that big power. So, like, I started watching She-Ra, and there's, like, a scene where, like, she's struggling with, like, being, you know, I have to be this warrior now, and I have to protect this world, and just before, I had this whole different idea of what was right and what was wrong, and now you want me to do this. But she has this, like, thing where she realizes, like, but I wouldn't change it. Like, I wouldn't go back to being ignorant. I now have this power. Mm-hmm. I am now awakened to the wrongs of this world. And I have to do something about it. There's, like, no way I can't do anything now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually happy that I have that knowledge. Like, I don't feel like it's a burden that now I have to, like, you know, make deal. If anything, I'm, like, playing catch-up because other people knew the world was bad
mm-hmm.
when I didn't. And I'm just going to figure it out and do, like, thankfully I have this power. I'm going to use it and I'm going to make things better.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think every instance where I've seen not a blonde white lady be a protagonist, it's been a good Chosen One time. Like, Korra.
Yeah.
Korra was great.
Yeah.
She's a Chosen One. She's the Avatar. Fantastic. Great situation.
Yeah, because she struggled a lot. She was a bit, like, she really was getting it handed to her quite mm-hmm. a lot.
Yeah, and I feel like there are a few instances where we get, like, Kipo.
Mm-hmm.
Another instance, like, the Chosen One of sorts,
mm-hmm.
who has this, like, wonderful journey, and there's, like, tons of great instances of it, but I think if we keep just replaying blonde lady now has powers, is chosen, la da da da, it's tired.
Yeah.
We don't need it anymore.
I agree. And, you know, like, so...
There's enough of it.
Lovecraft Country has, you know, started and been going on. And there are episodes which, you know, because it's about magic, but it's also about racism.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, like, I love that we're seeing how that intersects, and especially in American history, right? Mm-hmm. But even, like, in episode 3 of Lovecraft Country, they invite, like, a witch to bless the house and to exorcise the house. And she is a black woman, and she does it the way that her people have always done it. And mm-hmm. it is just as powerful as the white magic, because it propels the, like, in the next episode, we see that a woman can't enter the house.
It's arguably more powerful because of that.
Yeah, because they never imagined that she'd exorcise this house. And she did, right?
Yeah, they had no faith.
Yeah, and so I think, like, that is a phenomenal thing when we're talking about, like, magic and what needs to happen. And I understand, like, just like in the last one, the last episode, these are things that are adapted, right? So it's not like we're not expecting a whole lot, right? Like, we're not expecting these incredible changes. Like, if you made Sabrina black, the world would have been in an uproar. They get mad when you make black characters black. Okay, like, think about the Hunger Games,
mm-hmm.
when they got mad that, what was the young girl's name?
Rue.
Rue, yeah. or if they don't make them black and they're supposed to be, like in the other one, the not Hunger Games, but the other teen apocalypse.
Divergent.
Yes. So, like, I get that. You can't do that. But you could, like, don't masquerade yourself as being feminist. And
like an intersectional feminism show.
Yeah.
If that's not
what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, and that's why, so... People are always like, why don't you watch American Horror Story? And honestly, I was a big fan in season 1 and season 2.
Mm-hmm.
I was a great fan. Season 3 totally spoiled it for me because Ryan Murphy was like, look at my feminist show. I have women about, look at, I put Angela Bassett in here. Come on, you guys love her. You love her, right? She's a witch. She's played that before. Come on. And then they made her significantly less powerful than the White Witches. She was just like a parody of, like, what Louisiana witches are, and diminutive in comparison, despite being based on a real powerful black witch. Like, that we can do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also having, what is her name? Gabourey Precious, the actress.
Mm.
For I'm so sorry, I cannot remember her name. It's like Gabourey or something. But, like, they had this great opportunity of having that woman as a witch and to be, like, about body positivity. And they totally degraded her. And they totally ruined her. And they hurt her and made her, again, diminutive in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the women were powerless. There was no real rules as well. Like, they spent the whole season being, like, it's really, like, only the most powerful witches can do this one thing. And then at the end, all of them can do it despite, like, no practice. Like, it was a very lackluster, just look over. And then they did, you know, they had their, right after that was the circus, where they just played up a lot about disabilities that I wasn't about.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot, and so...
Problematic performative times.
Yes, which is why I can't get with it, and so I fight people often. And I get it, and Ryan Murphy does other things, and he's you can like him, but I don't, because I think it is performative.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what Sabrina is. Like, she ain't trying to help anybody. She's not trying to liberate anyone. She is not trying to be the feminist head of anything. She just wants what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to get it. And if other people happen to get something nice out of it, sure. If they also happen to get hurt, oh well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we ever get to go outside again, you know, new media.
Yeah.
New media. And we see, like, a little bit of it. You know, there's been little, like, blips of hope. Like, as we were saying, like, Cora, Kipo.
Yeah.
Like, some stories. I would like some that aren't cartoons.
Yeah.
Oh, you love Lovecraft Country, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, films, too. But it's, yeah, hopefully 2020, after the fact, 2021.
Yeah.
It's going to be another year where hopefully, where outside happens and new things can be made. And if there's some new chosen times that they're done right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or we all fight everybody. I don't know.
And I get that it's... I also understand the reluctance because it is hard. Like, they redid the Charmed, or they tried to redo the Charmed series, and it was all women of color. I believe they were Hispanic. And I tried to watch it, and it was bad. It was, like, just not written well at all, and didn't have, like, the same, like, yeah, like, you had to just make it stand out, and it didn't. And so it fell. And I think the problem with that was, like, it wasn't written very well. And it wasn't really the time, and they just didn't promote it properly or, like, give it the justice that it deserved. And now, where we are having a lot more, you know, vocal parties kind of talking about how they want representation, and it's like, you know, we have a lot of BIPOC who are creating amazing horror content that needs to be lifted up, right? Nia DaCosta's Candyman has been pushed back to next year, or something to look forward to. We have Antebellum. We have Lovecraft Country from Misha Green. We have a lot of amazing Latinx horror that's out there, because, like, the Latinx community loves horror and never gets the representation that it deserves. We have indigenous horror. We have so many, like, amazing horrors about horror stories here in America, like Quantum, Blood Quantum, which is an indigenous horror story. It's just phenomenal. And so, like, it's happening. It's happening.
I think it's like, don't remake something. Make something that's yours. Like, that is authentic to what you're trying to put out there. Don't just remake a show that was problematic because of the lack of representation. Like, don't remake Friends, but with
BIOC people. No, we have
just do a different thing. Do the thing that's yours and, like, that has needed to exist. And just because y'all aren't in the room because white people didn't let you be in the room and it was messed up, now make your own rooms.
And, like, don't let them get away with lackluster. Like, don't let these creators who are making stuff in and trying to advertise it as being something woke or profound or against the norm, don't let them get away with it. Like, don't let Lee Whannell and his Invisible Man get away without, you know, criticism, right?
Yeah.
Don't let Disney and their four white people writers make Mulan and not get any slack for it, for being incredibly, like, lacking in anything that is authentically Chinese in a story that is Chinese. Like, we keep creating media, or people keep creating media that they don't have the rights to, or masquerading it as something bigger than it is. But if those people are not in the room, if those parties that you're trying to represent don't have a voice in it, then it's going to fall flat.
Yeah, and it's going to be obvious. Like, it's going to show.
Yeah.
So, also, you said Woke, which reminds me, everyone go watch Woke. It's really great. It's a show on Hulu.
Yeah, and that's a good, like, genuine kind of look at, like, the different ways that people handle being woke in today's age. About art and about culture and about you as a person kind of struggling with the duplicity of, you know.
We're not sponsored by them. We were watching it before we did the show.
And I'm sure, like, we could, I mean, we offer lots of criticism for a lot of things, and, you know, I just started it, so I'm sure I might have one thing or two to pick at, because I do that. But I think, like, we can have a chosen one story that follows the narratives of, like, you know, teen who, you know, wants to fight back. Because Ava's also, that takes place in Spain.
Yeah.
Like, I wish she had a Spanish accent, but it's fine. And, like, she's also pretty light-skinned, too. But it's Spain. But, like, we can have these, like, POC, BIPOC protagonists who are the chosen one, who would probably give us a way more authentic struggle, too. And would give us more for the intersectionality than a white protagonist would, in that, like, the show really just does follow that whole idea of that we have struggled with in the feminist movement. And that really is by, like, you know, focusing on these women who are just looking for their thing, right? Like, who's the woman who, Susan B. Anthony? She said that she would hate to see black women having the right to vote. That she would, like, rather die than to fight for that. Because she was racist. Right? Like, that's what that is. But we build statues for her as well.
Yeah.
As feminists, right? We're like, we got the right to vote. But we're forgetting that there, you know, the years in which it took after that for us to get the right to vote. And so I think, like, when we see someone like Sabrina and these characters who are, like, falling to the wayside and picking up her messes, it's just replicating history, and it is harmful, and it's sad, because it deserves better. And it's just, like, I mean, I think the aesthetic is cute.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun.
Yeah, it's Riverdale. There's only so much you can really ask. I mean, it's the Riverdale world, right? So it's just, like, teens being cute, and I think the problem is that they try to pretend to be woke, and they're not woke.
Yeah. And it's like, I guess we could get a pretty decent amount of, like, flack from people who are like, you just don't like white people. And it's like, no, I mean, we're not saying, like, burn all the movies of the last 50 to 60 years that were primarily taken up by white people. We're saying allow other people to also make stuff.
Yeah. You know, like, do it right. You know, like, I mean, Sabrina could have been something if she really valued Roz's life, if she took and understood Prudence's struggles and
Ambrose's struggles. Yeah.
Like, she really, like, we genuinely could have gotten a pretty great story. Like, even in Riverdale, like, there's very little conversation about Josie, right? Mm. And the struggles that she has. But there is, like, a line in which she has to, like, rise and, like, work a little harder because her mom is so important and looks at her and, like, you have to work hard. I'm sorry, you have to do more than your white classmates. And, like, that is authentic in itself. Like, why can't we have that conversation? Like, Prudence never gets to be black. And the moment, like, that she ever got to was with that one witch. And even still, it's so minimized. Like, if you could do that, then it would be okay. Yeah. And it's like, both Kat and I are white. I'm half white. Yeah. You are very white. Yep. So it's not like we're all here hating everyone, right? But it's about what you're telling, and it's about being conscious of these harmful tropes and traditions that we see in film and actively working to minimize those and get those out of the way. We don't need them anymore. Yeah. We can work together. We can make it intersectional.
Yeah.
Right? Like, do it. Like, don't say you're going to do it and then not do it.
Do it.
Yeah, that's... We just want, like... We're going to be critical until it's better.
Yeah, I'm, like, cautiously optimistic, honestly, because, like, I feel like this year has been, like, the catalyst for a lot of people to really unpack everything.
Yeah.
And that instead of just, we'll probably see a lot of performative stuff, but I feel like there might be some good ones.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, it's just, like, people unpacking everything and even acknowledging. Like,
performative to a degree is helpful in some ways because at least there's something happening. Right? Yeah. Like, they're at least acknowledging that there's an issue and that, like, it needs to change. So, like, sometimes even just accidentally in your performance, you are impacting somebody else who doesn't know it's a performance.
Yeah.
That's not to say settle for that. We don't want performative. We want...
authentic and real.
Authentic. We want to change, right? And the only way to do that is to include those voices. We're not saying throw out the whole team for Sabrina, because I think they've been very honest in relation to the media that they're adapting from, and a lot of the characters that are there have the ability and the potential to be great, and they just hadn't gotten the attention for that. And if there was someone who could believe in that in the room, they would have enough authority to say, like, actually, I think you'd, like, can you please make Prudence black? Like, can you give her that feeling?
Yeah.
Like, can you give her, like, an interaction with, like, another black woman where she's like, oh.
Yeah.
That's why this whole time my life has been like this. Like, Prudence needs to get woke, and I would love that. I think it would be a great story. I think she would make a great protagonist, and is, like, honestly the only reason to watch it. As well as, like, I think Theo and Roz, not Harvey.
Harvey was supposed to die. He should have died. That's
fine. He was supposed to die in episode one, according to the comic.
So it should have just happened.
He's just like, ugh.
He was the worst, honestly, the whole time.
He's just as bad as Sabrina.
Yeah, Roz can do better.
Yeah, he's just as bad as Sabrina because he also is like, but me. Yeah. It's like, dude, what about all the other people who got hurt in the collapse? But it's your brother who's the important one, right? Like, he's the one we have to bring back.
That's the whole thing.
Sorry, your dad's an alcoholic. Like, dude, Roz is blind. Can we please? Yeah. Anyway.
Everyone only knows their own struggle until they're forced to do otherwise. So.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it right. It's not a good excuse.
Yeah.
It's the only one he has.
Yeah. But I mean, I have watched all three seasons of Sabrina, and I will watch the fourth one because I do like the other characters. I love the aesthetics. I love when they say stuff like,
Hell, oh, Satan.
Thanks, Satan. Mm-hmm. or like, hell's yes. Or yeah. Like, oh, heaven. Like, or what the heaven is going on? Like, I love that. Those are like, so that's silly, and I think it's cute. I also love Lilith. I wish they did her justice. This last season, she's been another pawn, and I'm watching her fight back. Her story started
really cool. Yeah, as you said, became kind of like a pawn. She's
like, she could do something.
I think the biggest thing to take away from Sabrina is that there are so many opportunities to do something really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And they settled with safe and fun.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
And cheerleaders. Like, yeah. I think the show writers need to realize that Sabrina is not the protagonist and is not everyone's favorite character. They need to realize that, and then they would be able to make a show that was cool. Because mm-hmm. if they could do that, they can make Lilith actually powerful. Like, what kind of feminist show has this all-powerful witch, the first one, and then makes her nothing? Like, she bows down to Satan on numerous occasions. And it's like, why is that what we get? How are you feminist?
Because maybe they're not.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, it has a lot of room to grow. And unfortunately, it only gets one more season. But it was fun. It's cute. And I think we can learn from it, which is the real value.
I argue it is a tool to pacify us.
That's
give
true.
Them a little bit of what they want.
Yeah.
Not the full thing.
Yeah, yeah. Because then the feminists will stop crying. Because what are we, what's the slur they try to use?
Nasty woman?
No.
No.
The other one. The SJW. Like, okay, you called me a warrior, so I'm gonna say yeah?
Yeah.
Like, why is that an insult? Yes, as a matter of fact.
Oh, social justice warrior.
I am a social justice warrior.
Thank you, like, for acknowledging
100%
that.
100% badge of honor social justice warrior. That is not an insult to me. Yeah. I'm like, yes. I am fighting the good fight for social justices.
Yeah.
It's
like, wild. It's like,
why would social justice be a negative?
Yeah, like, imagine just like being on the other end of that. Just be like, ugh, it's so dumb that you believe in things and I want to fight for people. Just be selfish
equality.
Like me.
How dare you want equality? How disgusting. Yeah, so proud SJWs here on the Ghouls Next Door. It's not an insult. But yeah, as we say, don't get married.
Delete your kids.
Or they're like a witch or something.
I don't know.
It's fine. You can watch Sabrina or not. That's really fine. It's for children.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.